Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. We're so blessed that you're joining us today. You know, in society today, we often find ourselves being pulled in so many different directions. We don't really know which way is the right way. We tend to put our attention on the things that are screaming at us the loudest. You know, using that old adage of the squeaky wheel gets the oil. If that sounds like you, if you keep telling yourself that you need to prioritize better, if you know deep down on the inside that you are letting your relationship with God slip, if you are feeling a sense of guilt or regret because you're so busy and tired all the time, and the most precious things in your life, your family, your relationship with God, is being put on the back burner. If any of this sounds even remotely familiar, then you want to pay attention to this episode today. My guest today has experienced the highs and the lows of success. To coin the old phrase from Wide World of Sports, which many of our younger listeners may have never heard of, it says the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And my guest today has taken that roller coaster ride. Russell DeVos was a pastor of a great and thriving church in Bend, Oregon. Starting with just a handful of people, it quickly grew into 1,500 people in just 3 years' time. Praise God. But with that thrill of victory, soon came the attacks, and soon came the agony of defeat. Distracted by the ever-increasing pressure of success, he soon succumbed to the inevitable defeat. Not focusing on God, not focusing on family, he ended up losing the church and almost lost his family. But that was not the end of the story. Out of that experience, he now helps other men who struggle through the same things he did. Today, he and his wife, Heather, they enjoy each other more than ever. They're serving God together. They're helping others who are going through the struggles that they had to endure. He's a certified life coach, teacher, and speaker with both the John Maxwell Team and the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, and is the founder of the Catalyst Coaching Program. Help me welcome to the program, Russell DeVos. Russell, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
It's a great honor, Bob. So glad to be here.
Amen. Now, the first question I always ask, other than that brief little bit of information I just shared, tell us in your own words, who is Russell DeVos?
Well, let me get, I'll kind of start at the beginning. I'm a pastor's kid. My dad was a pastor all of my growing up years, pretty much with the exception of a few forays into sales when he was between pastors. So I grew up as a pastor's kid and poorer than poor. Yeah, we didn't have two nickels to rub together most of my life, but my dad was a master gardener, so he was able to provide for us beautifully out of his garden 5 months out of the year. And so grew up as a pastor's kid. Three things that I kind of that describe me based on three things I swore I would never do. And one was that I would never go to Bible college. Number two, I would never get married older than my dad. He was almost 30. And number three, I'd never be a pastor. These are sworn nevers in my life. So I made it through high school, and I was a wrestler in high school and was a state champ. I had the privilege of being a state champion wrestler in the state of Oregon, and then was offered scholarships all over the place. Ended up going to Liberty University.
Amen.
For 2 years, wrestled on a wrestling scholarship for one of those 2 years. But was having to cut so much weight, I decided that wasn't for me. But the Lord interjected himself into my life, my second year of Bible college, in an all-night prayer meeting, and I received a call to ministry. So wow. Ended up going to Bible college in Prairie Bible College up in Canada, a place I swore I would never go. Graduated from there and onto the mission field for a couple years with Operation Mobilization and then into ministry. Amen. And so currently married to my beautiful wife, Heather, and that's part of our story for sure, is our 23 years of marriage. Amen. Three children, and one is married. Samuel is married to Hannah. Lily is 20, and Simon is 19. So live in Seattle, Washington, and there you have it. That's kind of the bullet points.
Amen. Amen. Now, let's go back to the beginning here. On your website, you share that your story is basically birthed out of your failure in ministry. But you grew that church to 1,500 people in a very short amount of time. Isn't that what would normally be called success?
Yeah. Yes, it would. And it was an incredible journey. I was a youth pastor at a large four-square church in Bend, and was determined to get the word of God into those young people. And so 7th and 8th graders, believe it or not, I would just take out my Bible and I would teach through the scripture and began to see adults coming to the junior high group and established an adult volunteer base of almost 30 people. And then we'd have parents come in, listen to the messages. And I realized that people are hungry for the word of God. And we were in a seeker-sensitive type of a church where the Bible was not being taught systematically. And so the Lord began to form and shape kind of the way I did ministry. And so after about 5 years there, can't remember how many years exactly, we planted our own church in Bend. Actually, it wasn't in Bend. It was in a neighboring city, in a home, in a living room of a home, behind a locked gate. You had to have a code to get into this neighborhood. Wow. And so we started with 17 people on the first Sunday, and it just... we outgrew that house in about 5 weeks, 4 weeks.
Wow.
Went into a school, ended up in 3 services, and then into a high school theater. And so that's kind of the evolution of the church, if you will.
Amen. Amen. And you say your ministry outgrew you and your character. Explain what you mean by that.
Yeah. I'm convinced that... whenever you experience success, there's lots of factors. I believe that because we lifted up Jesus and we taught from the scripture, that God honored that despite my lack and cracks in my character. As the church grew, I found myself becoming more and more almost obsessed by the success of the church. Now, I prayed against this. I was asking God for humility, but the bottom line was I was allowing myself to take credit for what God was doing. Mm-hmm. And boy, that's a dangerous road to go down. Mm-hmm. And I found that my inner life, my character, the very core of me was not being cultivated. You know, it's interesting in the book of Song of Solomon, we know that a vineyard is a large part of the setting of that book. And it talks about the vineyard keeper saying that essentially I'm responsible for all of these other vineyards of many other people, but I'm not tending my own vineyard.
Oh, wow.
And that was exactly what happened with me, is that I was so almost obsessed with serving and loving and caring for the people of the church, I neglected my own inner life. Mm. And there was a story, I'll share this with you, an epiphany I had when we left the church. We moved up to Seattle and we were a bloody mess. The way we describe it is we hit the wall, a concrete wall going 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And we were bleeding badly as a couple, individually. It was not a pretty sight, our family life. Mm. And as I began to debrief and defrag all of this and try to figure out what happened, the Lord gave me an epiphany through a story that was on the news. And it was a story of a father and his little daughter that were parked in one of the parks just south of downtown Seattle during a windstorm. And a tree fell during that windstorm onto the car and crushed the man. The little girl escaped without injury, but when they did the autopsy on the tree, they found that the inner core of the tree was rotten.
Mm.
And when I heard that newscast, immediately the light bulbs went on. And what I realized was that just like the rings of a tree, we have rings of our life, and the very inner ring is our spiritual life, our relationship with Jesus. Then the next ring is our relationship with ourself. The next ring is our relationship with our wife. The next ring is our relationship with our children. And then fifthly, it's a relationship with our work.
Yeah.
And I had skipped the four inner rings and was focused completely on the fifth ring, and the four inner rings had rotted.
Mm.
And yeah. just like the story, my tree toppled and injured many people. And the Lord showed me, man, you live your life from the core outwards. Your inner life is the most important thing. And so these last years of my life have been cultivating the inner life. When everything fell apart at the church and I resigned from my position as founding and lead pastor, I went into counseling with a gentleman trying again to put this all together. And he said this, when God expands your circle of influence, he's building your faith. When God shrinks or diminishes your circle of influence, he does it to build your character.
Amen.
And that's exactly what happened. He allowed my circle to be expanded, but my character couldn't handle it. The church and all that was going on outgrew my character. And so God then shrunk, diminished my circle down to really my family.
Yeah.
It's in that place that he has been in these last 13 years, rebuilding and reshaping my character.
Amen.
And I'm so grateful for that journey, but it's been tough.
It's been a rough one. Yeah.
Dark.
Amen. Amen. I've been there as well. And so after stepping down from ministry and facing the turmoil for everything that was going on, how did you begin the road back? What did you start to do differently?
Yeah. Well, for about 8 years, I didn't do much differently. very, very, very difficult. I was working hard as a salesperson. I got involved in sales. I didn't know what to do. All I'd ever been before that, the failure in ministry was in ministry. So I didn't really know how to do anything else. Mm-hmm. And so I responded to an ad on monster.com to be an outside salesman for a home improvement company. And the only reason I responded is they said you could make six figures and that you had to be good with people. And I figured, well, that's been my work is with people. So I got involved with that home improvement company and God honored that immensely. And, I was just absorbed in work and I really didn't have a plan to bounce back. I knew I had to work on myself, but there was nothing really in place. At about 8 years, I had a crisis. I was sitting on the porch swing underneath our patio in the breezeway of our home, and a statement that had been shared with me years before that I blew off. I thought it was ridiculous. It's simply this statement: nothing changes unless something changes. And this was in 2015. So I'd gone 8 years roughly of just floundering, a lot of anger, a lot of bitterness at God. I had my middle finger up at God for years. I didn't open my Bible for two full years after leaving ministry. I was just so angry. Because I had sworn I'd never be a pastor. When I was growing up, the senior pastor who my dad worked for had a ugly, ugly sexual affair, and it split the church in half. We had another pastor nearby who had an affair. I had watched infidelity in ministry and was scared to death of it, and that's why one of the major reasons I didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't want to have that nightmare be part of my story, and yet here I was living through the same thing.
Yeah.
And so in 2015, sitting on the porch swing, nothing changes unless something changes. That was the catalyst to cause me to stand up and say, I have got to go to work on myself. I've got to make significant change. And within a week, I hired a coach.
Okay.
And that was the beginning of significant change for me.
Amen. Amen. So let's focus a little bit on the things that you share in this training program, because a lot of what you're helping others with is all related to what led to your fall. And then the recovery aspect is basically sharing what you learned on that road to recovery, correct?
It very strongly draws from that. Absolutely. Yes. Okay.
So what would be some of the mindsets that lead to a fall?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. Well, let me give you a couple of them. One is that, let me just say this. What I've found with most men and I would certainly say pastors is that we have never integrated our dark side with our light side. Let me explain that. In some of the counseling that I did just after everything blew up at the church, I was introduced to a concept called splitting. And what it means is that we have the potential to think we're all good or all bad, depending when I'm preaching, when I'm teaching, when I'm ministering to people, when I'm watching people's lives change, I have this tendency to think I'm all good. But then in the moments of weakness, and I fall to temptation or whatever the case might be, I can easily switch that mindset to I'm all bad. And in counseling and in work that we do, we integrate that to say, listen, I'm a man of God, yes, but I'm also a man of flesh. It's all of who I am. And what I've found with pastors and with men is, especially Christians, we sanitize so many things. Mm-hmm. And we're not truly honest. I told somebody the other day, I was 98% honest about my life. And that's why people came to the church largely, because I teach the word and I was very honest about my own struggles. But I was only 98% honest. There was about 2% that I was so ashamed of. And I grew up in a family where we didn't talk about sex. Essentially, if you had sex before marriage, the inference was almost as if you would go to hell. And so sex was just taboo. Mm-hmm. So as a very hormonal man, I just never had conversations about it. But of course, it was a major part of my growth and my maturity is our sex drive. So I talk with people and work with men to integrate the dark and the light.
Yeah.
As long as we're in this body, as long as we're in this world, we have to come to grips with the fact that we struggle, and we've got to be able to bring those struggles, 100% of them, every bit of it, into the light. And when I did, I realized other men are struggling with exactly the same things that I thought. I'm the only one. And if I share this with anybody, I'm out. Mm. They'll fire me.
Yeah.
And so, but it's that 2% that sinks your ship.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So that's one mindset for sure. Mm-hmm. I'll share another one while I'm on a roll here. Yep. And that is the deceptive power of success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Success is very dangerous. And our character has to be able to handle success. A lot of people, you know, we have success as the goal. We've got to succeed. We've got to grow the church. We've got to grow the business. We've got to increase our banking, whatever it is. Success is dangerous. I know that when the church hit an upright spike, we grew consistently, but right at the end, we exploded. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking in my heart, when I initially started the first phases of the unfaithfulness, I'll never fall. It's not possible. I'm doing such a great work for God. God will never allow me to fall.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
That's insidious, that thinking. That's diabolical. It's just craziness. And but the success, it caused me to feel so, the pride in me, you know, the Bible says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And oh my word, I was so caught up in this idea that I'm doing such a great work for God that there's no way that he would allow me to fall.
Yep. Yeah, I know the feeling.
Oh, humility is such a guard, such a shield.
Amen.
Integrity.
Do these things just happen, or is there a pattern of events, a pattern of habits that start someone down the path towards a fall or a failure?
Yeah. I think that one of the things that in the coaching that I do is someone has said that coaching essentially is helping the person that you're coaching to see their own brain. Mm. And when I heard that, I thought that's exactly right. Most men have very little awareness, and most people in general, but I think men more than even women, have very little awareness of what they're feeling, what they're thinking, what motivates them, what their values are. And there, I have a client who just said recently, he says, I feel like I'm living my whole life in a fog. And I think that is really true of a lot of people. I look back, and one of the things that I can tell you in the last 13 years that has happened is I have become so much more aware of the vulnerabilities of my life, my strengths, my weaknesses, the places where the enemy can get me. And I was completely blissfully ignorant of that as a pastor. And I had things like the issue of the sexual issue growing up, not ever discussing it, a lot of shame around it. I wasn't aware of how that was being used by the enemy to be a trap. And so helping men to be honest and know that you can be honest, we're bringing things into the light, but then becoming aware of blind spots. One of my blind spots was with my wife. I had developed a spirit of incredible ingratitude, unthankfulness for who she was. Mm-hmm. And that set me up crazily for a fall. I saw her failures. I saw her weaknesses. We struggled. And I had developed a spirit and a heart of ungratefulness towards my wife. And I saw her as a trick, that God had tricked me into marrying her. And boy, when you have that mindset, wow, about your wife, you're set up. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that was a big one that the Lord revealed to me. Another one was, and this is interesting, is that because of relationships growing up, and possibly with my mom, and I don't want to throw her under the bus in any way, but this was just part of our family dynamic. I grew up feeling like I was a rescuer. I would counsel my parents when they fought. I couldn't stand the conflict in the home. My mom and dad struggled. My dad is a pastor. My mom and dad, they fought a lot. And so I would be the mediator of their fights. And so I kind of grew up seeing myself as a bit of a one who would intervene and mediate and be the savior, and everything would be okay and conflict would be gone and all the suffering that everyone's experiencing would be gone. And so I grew up, and I brought this mindset into ministry that I was the one who would be the knight in shining armor to ride in and save the day.
Yep.
And that and the counselors told me, Russ, you're not Jesus. You're not a savior. You're not the savior. And then they also told me, you don't understand the powerful impact of suffering in someone's life. You're trying to eliminate suffering from people's lives.
That's good. Yeah.
People need to suffer. Suffering and pain is one of God's greatest gifts to open our eyes to where we need to change and grow. And it also reveals his grace in the middle of it. But if I'm trying to alleviate and eliminate suffering from people's lives, I'm not doing the work of God. I'm trying to be Jesus, and I'm not Jesus.
Amen.
And that set me up. I had had another improper relationship in the Foursquare Church when I was a youth pastor. And we left that church partially trying to get away from that. Nobody knew about it except for me and the other lady. But I left trying to get out before it was too late. Yeah. And I hadn't plucked the seeds of that. I hadn't plucked the roots of that. Mm-hmm. But in both cases, the one that caused the failure in 2007 and then the one prior to that in the other church, both of them were a result of me trying to minister and be compassionate to hurting people.
Yeah.
Yep. Just happened to be, they were women, they were friends, and they were somewhat attractive, and it got twisted.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, and you know, it's thinking back, is our stories are mirroring, not exactly right, but I mean, several of the things that you're talking about, I've gone through and had to pray it through and work it through myself. Amen.
Yeah.
Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. I hope you got a lot out of this portion of my interview with Russell DeVos of the Catalyst Coaching Program. Praise God. This is only part one of a great two-part interview. Amen. You need to be sure to come back for the next episode where we are really, really going to get into how Russell is able to help men who are going through and experiencing some extreme turmoil in their life and to overcome these things with the Word of God. But what Russell's been sharing, this, folks, is not just theory. He had struggles and failures as well. You heard about him talk about this during this portion of the episode. And he's used these techniques and tips that he's sharing with you to overcome his problems today. He and his wife are serving the Lord by serving others just like you. Amen? What you need to do right now is go down below into the show notes and get in touch with Russell DeVos. Do it right now while it's fresh in your mind. Amen? Just go down below, use the links to get in touch with Russell, check out his website, ask him some questions, and be sure to come back for the conclusion of this interview in the next episode. Until then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.